cutting apples up as a blade. Little dead, soon in graves. Long revival all the way this day. And I think of.
Start the episode.
I'm John.
And I'm Drew.
This is Awesome Spooky Month
on the Archive Blog.
It's the penultimate Awesome Spooky Month episode. In a week, Halloween will descend upon you. All of you. Right?
Yeah.
And we want to prime you for that, right? People may be like, why don't they put this Halloween episode on Halloween?
We got something better planned for
Well,
Halloween.
Maybe.
Maybe.
But we want to prepare.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't want to hear about Halloween on Halloween because it's Halloween.
Right. You got better things
to
do.
You got better things to do.
These are those things.
Oh, okay.
Here's how.
Yeah.
Here's how you do
those
things.
Here's Halloween.
Here's how.
Here's Halloween.
Halloween. Oh. That's good. That's good.
That's real. How do we do it?
You gotta understand a few important staples of Halloween, right?
All right.
A good example of one that I think will have a lot of diverse perspectives on is candy.
Oh.
Because your sort of introduction to Halloween, I think, is, if you are a kid growing up in America, is that it's all about candy.
Centered around candy.
Right, right. Lots of things are centered around candy. Lots of holidays include candy.
You know, you're right, but perhaps none so indulgent as Halloween.
Yeah.
So celebrated and revered.
Yeah. And also maybe a little bit dangerous.
Yeah.
Right? And you take the good with the bad. Lots of free candy and maybe something a little more sinister. Or maybe not. Do you have a favorite candy that, like, you used to love
getting on Halloween?
Yeah.
I used to love, and I'm going to start off controversially. I'm going to start off with controversy. Candy cigarettes.
What?
Yeah, man.
Really?
I used to love getting those things. It wasn't so much that they tasted good, but
they didn't really taste like
I really enjoyed the packaging.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you that's know? True. Where they had created sort of a fake brand or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true. They felt like an extension of the whole costumey element. You know, you were playing a role when you had candy cigarettes.
It was just a white sugar stick, but at the end of it, they had painted a little bit of it orange, so it was like lit.
Yeah.
Now it wasn't my favorite. I shouldn't say it was my favorite because it's not like I was like, oh man, I can't wait to eat these. I think I enjoyed the novelty quite a lot.
Yeah.
Of them. You know, my favorite Halloween candy, I'm going to try to focus this on something you only get on Halloween.
Oh, good.
Because,
call.
You know, I could just say what my favorite candy is, and if I get that on Halloween, you know, I'm going to be happy. But if we're saying something really you're only going to get on Halloween, man, that's actually kind of tough. Thinking of the Halloween exclusive candies.
It's harder now, I think, because we have more candy is more ubiquitous.
Yeah.
You know, stuff that was previously only available around Halloween or what seemed to be only available around Halloween is a little more widespread. The availability is widespread, but.
You know, there were kind of like lollipops, but they were chocolate. Chocolate on a stick, basically.
Hmm.
And I think they came in shapes of like an eyeball or, you know, some other gruesome appendage or,
or sort
body
of
part.
Like the shape and then like
molded
wrapped
into
in
the shape.
Foil or
plastic
wrapper. Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Those were very good. I really liked those.
Nice.
Yeah.
I had, when I was a kid, I used to love getting the flavored Tootsie Rolls, the fruity flavored Tootsie Rolls. Oh, yeah,
you couldn't
get
those.
They seemed to only materialize around Halloween.
Yeah.
Probably because people were buying them in bulk.
Yeah.
It was the only way to buy them. But my this just came to mind a few years back when I was working at Suncoast, the video store in the mall. They would always sell candy up at the counter.
Yeah.
And around Halloween one time, they got in these bloodsuckers, is what they were called.
Oh.
And they were, it was like a hard candy head.
Okay.
Like a topper.
Like a human
in
head?
In the shape of a monster head, like an alien or a
werewolf.
Frankenstein creature. Yeah. Or werewolf.
Okay.
Mummy. But attached to the bottom was this like little pump. And it was filled with this red, oozy liquid candy.
so I can't the head was not candy, right?
The head was candy.
Oh, wow.
But it was attached, affixed to this little plastic pump.
Yeah.
And when you squeeze the pump, the gooey blood stuff would come out of the eyes and mouth of the head. It would bubble up out of the eye holes and stuff. So the idea was that you would like suck on the candy head to lick the blood oozy stuff, right? And then after you're done, then you eat the candy head. I didn't care so much for the candy head, but man, did I ever love that ooze.
But
it was so good, man. I used to do like two or three of these things a shift. I bought out the entire case, I'm pretty sure, of these bloodsucker things. Because one, nobody else was going to try them.
Yeah.
And they're like, those things look horrible. And I'm like, they are. They're great.
Yeah. So these didn't exist when you were a kid? As far as you know,
I don't remember ever seeing them or getting them. This was, you know, like mid-90s or whatever that they showed up. And I've since, I feel like I found something similar. It might have been under a new name, but I've never seen them anywhere ever again. And I regret like not going around to all the Suncoast stores and buying them all.
That's so awesome, man.
I loved them.
I just like the mental image of you like hoarding these things and eating them while on shift. That is amazing.
Just guzzling. I would like pucker up to these things and just like drain them dry.
Man.
It's great.
It's a genius kind of application.
Oh, pretty smart. Very clever.
It was funny when I was trying to think of what specific to Halloween candy I liked. It was hard because I actually dislike a lot of the candy that is specific to Halloween.
Yeah.
Candy corn.
You don't like candy corn?
Well, you know, I think it's
a sensitive issue.
I like to eat one maybe.
Uh-huh.
But I can't eat any volume of them. They don't taste good to me. I'm more accepting of the pumpkins,
uh-huh,
which are the same candy.
The same consistency. Same type of thing. Yeah. Flavor's a little different.
Yeah. Those I can abide. The candy corn, I just always find myself disappointed, I think. You know, and they're kind of the staple, right? When one thinks of Halloween candy or when one is asked to, if one is asked to name the flagship candy of Halloween, I think a lot of people would say candy corn.
Candy corn. Yeah, good call. I love candy corn, man.
That's weird.
But you know, it's funny. It's so weird. I haven't eaten any.
That's
candy
so
corn.
Weird.
It's like
you haven't.
It's
eaten
the middle
any?
Of October, and I haven't eaten
oh,
any
yet
this season. Yeah.
Ever? I thought you meant ever.
Ever?
I love it, but I've never
man,
eaten
candy
it.
Corn is great. I can't wait to.
How do you
see what it tastes like?
How do you feel about like chocolate candy corn, where it's got the chocolate?
Oh, what the
tip.
Indian corn?
Yeah. Oh, is that what they call it?
That's what Brax, I think, markets it as. I don't like that as much. Brock's. I don't like that. I don't like that.
Don't mess with the formula.
It's just a... It's funny because it probably is the exact same consistency as the other candy corn, but to me, it tastes like waxier and pastier. I don't know.
The other candy that I associate very strongly with Halloween, and that I would just be upset at receiving were the, I think it was like a peanut butter candy, and it came wrapped in either black or orange paper. Mm-hmm. And it was chewy and almost like a taffy. You know what I'm talking about here?
Yeah, yeah.
About the size of like a little bit smaller than maybe half the size of a golf ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found no pleasure in eating those
things.
There's
just something wrong
with
them.
And they were ubiquitous. I mean, mm-hmm. you would get a significant amount of these things from people.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't eat them? You just tossed them?
No, I didn't want anything to do with them.
I never liked Jolly Ranchers.
Yeah.
Any of that kind of like hard.
Yeah. I
like butterscotch, but not.
You would also get a lot of Tootsie Rolls.
Which I was okay with. I like the
standard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's fine. I prefer the fruity
ones. I guess,
ones,
you know, I'm not into the chewy stuff
mm-hmm.
as much. I would eat the, but I would eat the Tootsie Rolls. You know what the thing is I would always end up with just Tootsie Rolls and I kind of begrudgingly would eat them, you know?
Because there were so many of them disproportionately.
Yeah. Well, and in my mind, I would tell myself, okay, it's chocolate and it's candy and it's still hot. You know, I still want to be in the Halloween mood, so I'm going to enjoy these. And I didn't really, but
yeah,
I kind of forced myself to eat them.
Which I think a lot of kids do.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
You're just sort of like, I'm going to eat whatever's in this
You
hall.
Come home and I can remember just like an absurd amount of candy pouring out of my... trick-or-treat bag.
Yeah.
Like, ridiculous. And sorting through all of it and just, you know, making the commitment then and there that I'm going to eat every item in here except mm-hmm. for those peanut butter things. Which I think maybe she'll tell me if I'm wrong, but I think my sister liked them. Maybe I gave them to her. Mm-hmm. I think I gave them to somebody in my family because I didn't want them.
Yeah, I think there's a common practice where you try to find...
there's trades happening.
Yeah, yeah.
My sister and I would often trade Kit Kat for Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Oh, okay.
I was a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup kind of guy.
Uh-huh.
And so she and I would give her the Kit Kats, she would give me the Reese's.
It's a pretty fair trade.
Yeah, I think so.
Candy, I call my sugar a candy, 'cause I am sweet on candy. Candy's sweet on me. She understands me, my understanding candy. And candy's always handy when I need sympathy. I wish that there were four of her, so I could love much more of her. She has taken my complete heart. I got a sweet tooth for my sweetheart. Candy is gonna be just dandy the day I take my candy and make her mine, all mine.
The other thing that I think was a great thing to get in the Halloween with your candy
mm-hmm.
was the little bags. You would get sometimes a little grab bag.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, a little paper bag.
Yeah.
And it would have some kind of Halloween-themed illustration printed on it.
Yeah.
Usually stapled clothes.
Uh-huh.
But you'd have like a pixie stick sticking out of it a lot of times. You open that up, but you don't know what you're going to get.
Right. There could be little stickers in there.
It could be disappointing. But, you know, regardless of what was in there, it was exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Because it could be something great.
Yeah, there was a mystery element to it.
Yeah, a lot of times.
And it's a little more than just like, oh, here's a piece of candy.
It's toys,
yeah.
usually.
Some kind of
like spider ring.
The rings.
Spider rings.
Oh, my God.
Vampire teeth.
Yeah.
Plastic vampire teeth.
The spider ring, though.
Wax lips.
There's another ubiquitous, like... Always, every year you'd get at least one spider ring.
Oh, yeah. Do they still make them, do you think?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, they're everywhere. They're everywhere.
Is the conjecture of the spider ring, is the idea that you have a spider on your finger, that you're fooling people? or is it simply
that's probably how it started.
Jewelry.
I would bet that's how it started. Like, ooh, that it was supposed to be some kind of prank. Yeah, yeah, like you set your hand down and
oh my god.
I wonder if there's like some sort of history behind like how many people
lost maybe like fingers,
yeah, like
smashed. Yeah.
And it's maybe fire. Like they made them very originally they were very
realistic,
authentic. Yeah. Yeah, like they had little hairs and stuff.
And then too many kids are losing fingers. Yeah. Like we gotta make these look
too
fake.
Many parents just beat their children's fingers off with bricks.
Yeah, you'd have those teeth, which were always seemed like an awesome thing when you first get them. Because you'd be like, oh, vampire
yeah,
teeth.
You're like,
yes.
Now I am totally vampiric.
Yeah. And you'd put them in your mouth and you go look in the mirror and you're like, this is the best. And then after about 5 minutes, you're like, this hurts to wear.
It's ripping my gums apart.
My mouth
and also,
is full of saliva.
I can't talk.
Yeah. And I can only really open my mouth a little bit.
And like, before yeah, one the thing, motion.
Yeah.
So, and I used to always try, like, I would try to do the vampire overbite where you close your mouth, but the fangs are protruding, you know, which you can't really do with those things.
I love this.
You have to, like, stick your upper jaw out in order to do it. And then you've got, like, because you don't have full control over them, they're sort of sliding around on your teeth.
They don't fit on your teeth.
So they can get askew very easily.
You would always try to get your incisors into the holes that are the incisors of the fangs.
Yeah.
So you try to get them in the fangs, you know? And you could only, the way those teeth work, they were never wide enough. So you could get one incisor in, but the other one's all the way over, you know?
Yeah. They wouldn't actually really fit your teeth. Yeah. And you kept thinking, like, or at least I did, I always thought, like, okay, well, I'm just going to grow into them. Eventually, I'm going to grow into them. And never did.
You grow out of them pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I you know, it's funny that makes me think of, like, this. There's this mindset as a kid, especially, and it's very prominent at Halloween, where you have an idea in your head of a vision for what you want to look like or what you're trying to attain, you know, a certain amount of authenticity or realism or whatever, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And
you're going for a convincing.
And I feel like that mindset is so focused on, like, very specific elements and just myopically so. Like, you get those fangs and you're like, if these fangs, if they will fit correctly, the whole illusion will be, you know.
Right, yeah.
Will
this
be
is
successful.
All you need, yeah.
All I need is these teeth to look right.
Yeah.
And so you put them in and you're, it's a, you know, just a disappointment that you can't get these teeth. You know, you trying to get the fangs over your lower lip. Like, if you could just make that work.
Yeah.
Then everything works,
You'd
you know.
Sell it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It seems like all costumes and stuff like that, there's some element of them that you're like, if I can get this one piece,
if I can just hide that
perfect
seam,
yeah, then it will totally everyone will see the perfection
in this,
you know.
I honestly used to think, like, if I could make a convincing enough costume, people would literally think I was a vampire.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
I totally be convinced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What other candies are there that you would get sort of in the later years? Jelly candies in the shapes of eyeballs and
spiders
and stuff. And then of course there's the fun size application to all familiar candies.
Oh, right. Where they would, like, shrink down a baby Ruth to, like, a little nugget.
Nothing fun about it.
No.
Is the opposite of fun.
Unless you don't like that.
Yeah.
Unless you don't like that particular kind of candy bar, because then you're like, if you trade it, you're like, well, I'll trade you this, like, horribly miniature baby Ruth for, like, your full-scale Three Musketeers bar.
You get those squares, those cubes of Snickers. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the size of a Lego brick.
Those, I feel like, they weren't always around. Like, I feel like those
are more
popularized,
recent.
Yeah, within, like, maybe the last 10 or 15 years, yeah.
The size that I remember getting of candy bar was more like if you were to cut one in thirds. Like if you cut a Snickers in thirds.
Yeah.
You've got...
It was like the size of a chicken nugget.
Yeah, that's totally.
The basic...
Totally.
Yeah.
Which I found acceptable because you're getting so many of them, mm-hmm. generally. Mm-hmm. You know? I never liked getting pennies, though. Whenever people gave me money, I was always disappointed.
Yeah, that was always...
Like a quarter.
Yeah. Never cared for it.
You know, looking back...
Wasn't in the right spirit, you know?
And looking back, maybe, you know, maybe that person had planned poorly and didn't get candy in time or something. It's like, I've got to give them something.
Yeah, but the problem with that logic is that they still took the time to get change, you know, right?
Well, I'm assuming they had change available.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe they ran out of candy.
Maybe.
I'm looking at it from the perspective of an adult now and thinking there perhaps are extenuating circumstances.
Right. It's hard to fathom that when you're a kid.
As a kid, you're like,
it's hard to imagine that an adult is not thinking about Halloween 24 hours a day. Yeah.
Like you are, you would be. Were you the one in charge of handing candy out, you would be ready.
Oh man, yeah, you would have been ready for months.
Yeah.
Yeah. Acquire the candy.
Yeah.
You have to don a costume.
Well,
you should don a costume. Should. Popular decorum is to don a costume.
Yeah.
And parade yourself around the neighborhood requesting free candy.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly what it is.
The thing is, I can't ever remember trick-or-treating not being like a normal thing, you know?
Not
like it was always expected behavior, right?
Yeah.
Like as long as I can remember, like that's what you do on Halloween. There was no question about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now I find myself wondering, like, how does that become a thing? Like, how do you... I mean, I know that I know the story generally behind it of, like, why how we got from one place to this as a thing. But it's, like...
I think what you're saying is, how did it explode into what it is?
Kinda,
like,
yeah.
How does that idea spread?
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be everything involved in trick or treating is extremely I don't want to use this word, but I'm going to seductive to a kid, right?
Uh-huh.
Dressing up as something awesome,
uh-huh.
walking around at night and seeing other kids dressed up.
Yeah.
And adults giving you ridiculous amounts of candy for free and marveling at your costume.
Yeah.
Being congratulated.
Saying how impressed they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They always, this is the common response, right? When the door opens. Oh, it's a Frankenstein. Wow.
Uh-huh.
Or, oh, a princess, right? It was always, they always, the adults almost always like placated you.
Yeah.
Were fooled.
There was doting on you, yeah.
Where they had been fooled.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh. I better close the door. I'm starting to get scared. Oh.
Wait, I want candy. Trick or treat.
No, I can't open the door again.
It's fun. It's funny too. This is the what I'm sure my parents did, and what I've come to experience as an uncle going trick or treating with my nephews and my niece is that as they walk, because you sort of want them to do it themselves to a certain degree, you know, because part of it is the fun of being somewhat independent, I think.
Yeah.
And so you get up to the house and you send them up the driveway, you know, and always calling after them. You're like, remember to say thank you. And I don't know if I can't, you know, I assume as a kid, when I was a kid, my parents were doing the same thing, like yelling behind me, say thank you.
Yeah.
Because the kids, you know, fair enough. They're really excited and they're just like out there like candy. Yes. Let's go, you know. And so they'll forget their manners.
Yeah, they're fixated on the candy. Absolutely. They're like, what just got dropped into my bag? Yeah.
And you can't blame them.
Right, yeah. Because they're still trying to get their mind around this
you're
thing.
You're priming them all the way up to it to be like, you're going to get a ton of candy.
Right.
You know? And so I don't think it's unfair to expect them to be, you know.
Yeah, you don't be like, now, people are going to give you something, and you're going to say thank you. Yeah. You know,
but you do. You like, call
you're
after.
Not going to. You're going to walk around to every house in the neighborhood and express gratitude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's going to be so much fun. What happens a lot is you're like, remember, say thank you, and they get up there, and I guess this is who knows. I don't know. I can only speak from experience with my my nephews and niece, but that. The door will open and they'll stand. They used to just stand there and be like, say trick or treat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're like, trick or treat. I think when
that's
you start
to be prodded
off,
into...
when they start off, you know, you have to kind of give them the lines, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then they'll get the candy, start to walk away, like, say thank you. And as they're walking, like, thank you. So awesome.
Yeah. So were you always a family trick or treater, or did you ever go out with your friends?
You know, I think, well, the thing is, I had a few friends in my neighborhood. Uh-huh. So I think we'd join up, you know, the family, our families would get together and go.
Oh,
as a group.
Okay. That's cool.
So, you know, one parent, either my dad or my mom would come with me, you know, and the other would stay at the house to hand out candy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I can remember we would get together, with other friends in the neighborhood and go around, and I can remember just there being tons of kids. That neighborhood was full.
Yeah. I feel like I never see that anymore.
No.
Like, and maybe I'm just not out at the right time or something, but
yeah, or in the right neighborhoods, but
yeah, I have the same memory of just like the streets being like swarming with kids, you know?
Yeah.
Like you couldn't go like 20 feet without running into somebody else.
And I, you know, at my brother's neighborhood, I've gone there and I don't remember it being very, packed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a big area though. So it might be just, you know,
people are just not covering all that.
But I think that a lot of trick or treating now also happens in more, a more structured way, you know?
Yeah.
Parking lots.
Yeah.
Or
the mall.
Ugh.
I've when working at the mall, I would hand out
yeah,
you know, candy on Halloween for the kids that would trick or treat at the mall. But I just kept thinking, like, you poor schmucks, you know, like, you just don't know. Like, this is not the real experience.
I understand the intent, you know. I completely understand the desire to do it in that way, the feeling and sense of safety and structure and, you know.
Yeah.
But it loses something, you know.
Yeah. It's just,
I don't know what it is, especially in the parking lot scenario where you're going from car to car.
That's just stupid.
I think the thing
it's
is
basically like tailgating with Tootsie Rolls.
What bugs me about that is that A, the cars are too close to each other, right? So it's like you're just walking a few feet candy.
From one
a
to
few
the
feet
other.
Candy,
yeah, there's
a few
no
feet
distance.
Candy. There's also no question. Like, you would go up to a house and sometimes no one would answer.
Right.
Now the what I think is maybe the unwritten rule was that if the porch light is on, you're giving out candy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But not everyone followed that rule, and so a porch light might be on and no one would answer.
Yeah.
So there was that uncertainty to it. And in the parking lot, you know.
Right. Everybody who's there
everyone
is obviously
there is giving you candy.
Although it'd be awesome to be the one person that
doesn't answer. You're just, like,
you're just standing there. Kids walk by. Trick or treat. Oh, hey. Yep. Happy Halloween.
Yep.
You just watch them go by.
Get a little TV.
Oh, man, yeah. But there is something about that neighborhood approach. I never thought about this, but that's sort of how you got to know your neighborhood, you know?
Yeah.
You became acclimated to your neighborhood, you know, by being forced to go up to people's houses, go up to their porches.
Yeah.
And I think you lose that in the mall or at the parking lot scenario.
I think it just doesn't seem as magical.
Yeah, yeah. Or dangerous.
Or yeah,
and I think that there's magic in danger.
There's something also transformative about Halloween night, you know, and you don't get the sense of transformation when you're not at your home.
Yeah, yeah,
or in your home neighborhood or whatever. You know, you are used to seeing the neighborhood as it always is, mm-hmm. you know, and then on this one night of the year, it's. First of all, everyone's outside, walking around. Everyone's dressed in costumes. Everyone's celebrating, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the people answering the door are dressed in costume.
Yeah.
Like, people are just sort of reveling in it. And it's a totally different... You see your neighborhood in a totally different light.
Yeah.
You know, and I think you... Obviously, that scene is somewhat lost when you... do it in a parking lot or a mall or what have you.
Yeah, where you're just sort of shuffled along.
Yeah. It feels much more like a chore.
Yes.
Or it seems like it would.
Yeah.
Let's get this out of the way.
Yeah, yeah. It's Halloween. We've got to go do this. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
What did you carry? What was your means of conveyance for the candy? Like, what did you hold it in?
Initially, I had one of those little orange, the classic orange.
I think we all did.
Plastic pumpkin.
Yeah.
You know, as like a toddler, that was my like
badass
thing. Yeah. And I still swear by those.
Yeah.
I love that design. But later on, I would get like, you know, a plastic bag that had some sort of drawing on the outside. You know?
Yeah,
and it would just be like, you know, something cheap from the drugstore or something like that.
I had the pumpkin, of course, mm-hmm. at one point, and I think maybe variations on that theme mm-hmm. as well through the years. And eventually, I think we just did pillowcases.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I never did the pillowcase thing, and I always sort of wish that I had, because I'm pretty sure that a pillowcase was much larger than any of the other containers that I carried around.
A whole lot of candy.
Did you ever get those buckets from McDonald's?
Yeah,
a couple
I think
of years
so.
They would do the little. It was like a Happy Meal.
Yeah,
and it came in a bucket, and then you could use the bucket to go trick or treat.
I think we did.
I always thought I was styling when I had that. That was like the.
There was like a witch one, right?
There was
like
a witch, a ghost, and like a jack o' lantern thing. And I thought like that's like the BMW of
the jack o' lantern
of the plastic line. Pumpkin thing, right. The Mercedes, you know, like.
Top
you were,
of
you
line.
Were like really hot stuff, yeah. Like yeah, walking around with the McDonald's pail in your hand.
I can remember when my dad would take us out. He had this Frankenstein's monster mask that he would wear, and just the mask, you know. And it was one of these plastic, like razor edged masks. You know what I'm talking about? Like the thinnest.
Yes.
Plastic imaginable, like almost foil-like.
With just like a little string attached or whatever to keep it.
And a slit for the mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah, and he would just wear this. We'd go trick-or-treating, and he'd only wear that mask. And I thought it was awesome. That was a great mask. I remember one year, we're trick-or-treating, and I go up to the house and knock, you know, and the guy, like... wrenches the door open aggressively and like screams at me, and he's got this crazy mask on, like it's got like it's like painted black. I think it had like beads all over it, like black beads all over it, and just strange textures. And he just like, you know, pulled the door open and like advanced towards me and screamed, and I just bolted. And I wouldn't go back because he was like, oh, you know, I've got
just
candy
kidding.
I've got candy. And I wouldn't go back. And for years following that, I avoided that house completely.
Oh, because you're afraid he's gonna do it again.
Yeah, I hated it. And I also remember one house had set up these boxes with holes in them. And they were like, one's a trick and one's a treat. And you get whichever one you
reach into. What jerks.
So I, of course, reached my hand into a trick. And what it was a bunch of wet macaroni.
Ugh.
So it felt like brains or whatever. Uh-huh. They gave me candy in the end.
Well, that's good.
But, you know...
I would have just taken the macaroni.
Well, the thing is, I think I came on top because I got to experience the trick and the treat in the end. Yeah. That was worth experiencing.
Were you a joke teller?
Yes.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. And I don't, is that a thing that everyone does?
It wasn't like a requirement.
Yeah.
It was sort of an optional thing. But unless you went to a house and they were like...
There was like, do you have a joke?
Yeah. I can't give you candy unless you give me a
joke. Oh, that's mean.
Yeah. I don't think that
well, you know what? You know what? A lot of people would do is they're like, well, I'll give you one. I'll give you a joke that you can use later if someone else asks, you know.
Oh. Now, see, those people, they're just.
Are they going too far?
Yeah. They're using Halloween as their own personal stage. That's a bit much, I think.
They do a 5-minute bit.
Yeah. So, Halloween, huh? I mean.
What I don't get.
I was talking to my wife the other day about Halloween.
I had, you know, classics. I had like, what does a vampire take when he's got a cold?
What?
Coffin drops.
Oh. Good.
Why didn't the skeleton cross the road?
Why?
He didn't have the guts. These are classics.
Are good. I don't know that I've ever heard either one.
Here's an interesting trend that I've seen nowadays, and maybe it existed when we were kids too, but I've heard jokes that had no Halloween theme whatsoever.
Oh.
Just a joke.
That's frustrating. You know what? That's probably more in keeping with like the origins of it, you know?
But you know what I say to those kids?
What?
You're wasting my time. No, you're not getting
get
any candy.
Here. No candy.
I'll give you like a cracker or something, because you told me a joke I could hear any time of the year, so I'll give you a snack you can get any time of the year, but you're not getting candy. Here's a peanut. Have fun. be a bit more creative next time.
Bonfires burning bright, pumpkin faces in the night. I remember Halloween, dead cats hanging from poles. Little dead are out in droves.
What kind of costumes did you have through the years? Any standouts?
Oh, man, yes. Like, the first... Actually, my costume history begins with a somewhat tragic circumstance.
Oh, no.
Well, tragic to me at the time. Uh-huh. So the earliest Halloween costume I can remember, I think I was like 4.
You were Thor?
4. I was age 4.
Sorry.
So this was right around the height of Masters of the Universe.
All right. Nice. I like where this is going.
There were sort of your...
When you were 4?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I think I was 4 at the time. I think I was 3 when He-Man first came out. Masters of the Universe first
really?
Came out. And I think it
that
was...
That seems impossible to me. Because I was intensely into Masters of the Universe.
Yeah.
And I would have only been 1 year old when you were 3.
I don't know.
I feel like it must have been later.
Maybe.
Regardless.
Maybe.
Go ahead.
Anyway,
you were way into it.
I was very, very into it. I was into nothing else.
You'd met them at the mall.
Yeah, yeah. I met He-Man. They had those costumes, like you were sort of mentioning, the plastic
mask. And the drape.
And they would come with, yeah. Or it would be like a little jumpsuit, little plastic jumpsuit.
With everything printed on
painted,
it.
Painted, yeah, on the screen, on the chest or whatever. So they had one for He-Man and one for Skeletor that you could buy at like Walgreens or
you know what
you
the worst
costumes.
You would get some of those where it would be the mask. And then the shirt would just have like the He-Man logo.
Oh yeah.
It wasn't He-Man's
outfit. Right.
It was like advertising.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the worst.
Yeah. Those are terrible.
What were they thinking? Someone wanted to ruin Halloween when they made those.
Well, I never got to wear the He-Man costume. Or the Skeletor costume.
Did you get one?
No. Never did.
Okay.
Never did. I wanted this.
Yeah, you
like,
wanted
that
it.
I saw them and I was like, this is great. This is, there was no question. It was He-Man, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So instead, I don't remember where this originated, mm-hmm. but instead my mom decided she wanted to make my Halloween costume.
Okay.
And I think she had made previous Halloween costumes that I didn't recall. I was too young to really recall them, but
sure.
So this was like a thing. She would, you know, make my Halloween costumes and I was down with that.
Uh-huh.
And so we kind of what probably happened is that we're flipping through these like costume pattern books or whatever, you know, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. And mom says, oh, okay, well, I'll make you that costume. And then I go, oh, okay. What I remember happening is like, I wanted no question. I wanted to be He-Man. And instead my mom made a Care Bear costume.
Oh, wow. What?
So I was...
That's incredible.
I was Funshine Bear.
What?
For Halloween.
Is that the yellow one?
Yeah, with the sun.
Oh, wow. Is there a photo?
I don't know. Probably somewhere.
Man, that is rad.
It was an incredible costume, and it won a costume contest at my daycare center.
Whoa.
Which To this day, I'm not sure if I legitimately won that contest because it was a good costume. Yeah. I mean, I could see the grounds for that. Or if people, if the daycare people just knew how upset I was because there were like all these other kids at daycare who were in the He-Man and Skeletor costumes that I wanted. And I just remember like feeling so inferior standing there. Like I didn't even want to put my costume on. How rattled I was. But anyway, yeah, it won an award. I went home and I was like, Mom, the costume won. And we were all good from there on out. But it's great. Like thinking back to that, I just remembered those, that costume, man. Yeah. I had some good, I was Predator for 1 year. I think when I was like 12, maybe.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't a very good costume, but I was really proud of it.
Yeah. Like, was it homemade?
It was homemade. I got the mask. I got like a little, rubber Predator mm-hmm. mask. And, like I remember strategizing with my mom about how we were going to do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, so he wears like these, this like netting, you know, mm-hmm. and he bleeds neon. And my mom was like, well, why don't we play up the bleeding part and we can just cover you in like neon splotches like you've been shot.
Yeah.
So I just had like a black like sweatsuit covered in like, you know, blood or whatever. But the part that I was like really proud of was, there's a part in Predator where he's got like a spear or something. And so I was like, oh, I need a spear.
Yeah.
And so I like talked my mom into getting me like a plastic spear so I could like walk around in the Predator outfit with the spear.
Yeah.
You know, I just felt really, really.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I think the best costume I ever did, the one I was most proud of in terms of like detail and stuff. I got a lot of, accolades. I got a lot of accolades for the year that I dressed up like Alex from A Clockwork Orange. Had the white suit with suspenders and the bowler hat and everything. Like I remember, like just random strangers would be like, "Whoa!" You know, really impressed with
whoa,
that. That was like,
man.
That's cool.
You met a lot of surfers.
I remember walking out of the grocery store that night and some guy driving up, going like, yeah, Clockwork Orange, as he like passes by in his car.
How old were you?
I was like 17 or 18, okay. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like high school. But the year, I think I was either a freshman or maybe like end of junior high, I dressed up like Jason Voorhees. But not content just to put on a hockey mask, because for me, when I was a kid, the coolest part of those movies was always the moment where the mask came off and you saw Jason underneath with the mask. So I found this melted man mask and it was a full covered mask. Like it was the whole head.
Yeah.
Seams that was like, you couldn't tell. There was no break in it.
Yeah.
You know, you would tuck it into your shirt and it, you know, had the neck and the face and everything. And I put the hockey mask over it.
Yeah.
So like I would walk up to people and I would be, you know, they'd be like, oh, it's Jason. And I would be like, and like lift the mask up. And like the melted man mask had like an eyeball that was down on the cheek. It only had one eye hole.
Yeah.
You know, it was like that, like authentic. Right. Or and people would be like, ah, that's disgusting. So proud of it.
Wow.
So very, very proud of it. And years later, I was using it as a prop on my front porch.
Yeah.
I had decorated the, like a little standing dude, mannequin or whatever. Uh-huh. And somebody stole it. Somebody ripped
what?
It off. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And I wasn't there. I had gone over to a friend's house. And
that sucks.
Otherwise, like when I heard about it, you know, I heard the story, like my dad's relaying what happened. Like he, it was like the last trick or treater of the night. And he watched him walk down the sidewalk. And the guy kept like looking back, and I guess he was older than most of the other kids. He kept looking back at the porch, and my dad was like, I thought something was weird, but you know, I didn't, there was nothing, he wasn't doing anything.
Yeah.
So I like closed the door, turn out the lights, and like 20 minutes later, the dog starts barking, and he ran to the door and just in time to see the kid rip the mask off the mannequin.
Whoa.
And tear off into
oh my
the night.
Gosh.
And like, you know, hearing this, I'm like, oh, well, you know, I mean, that it happens. At least it wasn't like a brand new costume or anything like that. But deep inside, I was like, I would have chased that kid down. I would have thrown him in the river.
Oh,
I would have.
Man, that's intense.
Yeah.
Wow.
Serious business.
Oh,
Halloween
man.
Costumes.
I had your melting face man reminds me of these. I think it was either Disney Adventure Magazine or Nickelodeon Magazine had like a feature one year on homemade special effects, like makeup effects you do for Halloween. Uh-huh. And one of them was like a melting face. And I forget how they, what they, it was all stuff that supposedly,
hold a blowtorch up to your face. And
it was all supposed to be stuff you had at home, you know, that you could use with what you already had. And I can't remember, maybe it was like cornstarch and something else that you mixed together and then you would drip it down your face and it would sort of solidify.
Yeah.
But I remember being fascinated with that. I don't think I ever tried it though. I was really pleased with a Terminator costume that I had one year, and it was a thing that you bought, right? It came with basically half of the exoskeleton mask, which actually the eye lit up, like it had electronics in it.
Cool.
So the eye lit up, and it came with this fake like skin paste. And so you would put the mask on and then cover the seam with this fake skin.
Okay.
So it looked like your face had, you know, skin had been ripped off.
And the exoskeleton was coming through.
Yeah, I thought it was so cool. And again, this is an, like you were saying, I couldn't see out of that eye. Like there was no eye hole. So I'm, you know, half blind. But I was like, this is awesome. I look so cool. My mom made a lot of my costumes as well, and she was really good at it. And she made me a Luigi costume when I was a kid, which consisted of an Oshkosh Bagosh suspenders. You know, and a long sleeve shirt. But she made me the hat, and I had, you know, a fake mustache and everything. And I was really proud of that one. Uh-huh. I can remember, for whatever reason, when I was really little, I was a scarecrow one year, and I really liked that costume a lot. Huh. And I think what I really liked about it was the note, like, you know, I painted my nose a certain color or whatever. So it looked like it was sewn, a nose that was sewn on. Cause you know, he's a scarecrow or whatever, but I just thought that was really cool. I was the Karate Kid one year.
Ah,
pretty great. I can remember my last trick-or-treating costume, and it was actually kind of a somewhat sad story for me, just because it was the year that I realized I just wasn't into trick-or-treating anymore, and I could tell that, you know, people thought I was a little too old, and I think either my mom or dad still went out with me to do it, but I was, and I think I had decided last minute, like, I am going to dress up this year and go trick-or-treating. Mm-hmm. And I used an old costume that they had had that was like a wizard, and I was Gandalf, actually. Mm. I think I decided I was Gandalf the wizard. It looked nothing like what the description was, but it was the best I could think of, you know?
Right.
And I remember...
You didn't want to just be a wizard.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I remember walking around and feeling kind of silly and, you know, being like, maybe this is the last year. But what really bothered me was that I loved the costume aspect, you know, at that point, the trick or treating, the candy wasn't as big of a draw, but I still wanted to dress up, but I had no parties to go to. Mm-hmm. And so there was sort of a break in my dressing up career until I met my friend Adam, who throws a big, you know, costume party every year. And that's when I met Julie, who also would do costume party. In fact, that was before I met Adam. So I started doing costumes again and had some pretty great ones. I did Link from The Legend of Zelda one year. I did a pretty crappy zombie one year. It didn't really work out at all. I mean, it was good enough. You know, I think it was just too last minute. But I've did Luigi again recently. I revisited Luigi and that turned out really great. What else have I done? Casey Jones. I was pretty proud of that one. I love it. I still love dressing up for Halloween. It's a lot of fun. Just the effort. I really enjoy the effort of it, and and trying to get a vision for what I want into reality, you know?
Yeah.
My mom still helps me, still helps make those costumes.
That's excellent.
It is. She's really good.
She does a good job too.
She has made friends of mine costumes now.
Oh, wow. She could start a side business.
I know.
She could be on Etsy and stuff.
That's what I've told her.
Yeah.
I've told her repeatedly there is a nerd market out there waiting to buy, to pay for your services.
Yeah.
For nerd costumes. Yeah.
So if you're you know, it's getting close to Halloween. But
yeah.
If you're in a pinch, I don't know, maybe Drew's mom could help make your costume
get
a
in
reality.
Touch with me.
Yeah.
I'll put you in touch with her.
Thanks. I like this.
But it's not gonna be free. Look.
That's right. This is high
charity.
Quality stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, you are really going to wow the people all the other children.
Yeah.
On the street are going to be.
It's not going to be a mask and a shirt with a logo printed on it.
That's. You should do that for your costume this year.
I should.
You could go as the archive.
Whoa. What would the mask be? Just the drawer?
Just a plastic mask of yourself.
Archive host.
And the archive logo.
Yeah, totally. Well, I should be you, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
And you
could
be me.
We could go as each other.
Whoa, archive hosts.
I like it.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good.
I like it too, yeah.
All right. Let's put this in the archive.
And then get our costumes ready?
Yeah.
All right, good.
Good deal.
All right.
Trick or treat.